inside the Radio Octagon. This is Saskatchewan's number one sports talk show, The Sports Cage on 620 CKRM.
Hello and welcome from the Brandt Center. I'm Ryan McNally, hosting the show today hosting the Sports Cage here today for Nelson Holmes. And we got a pretty busy show here today. It is, of course, Regina Pats game day, so we're getting set to see the Regina Pats wrap up their regular season home schedule. They still have one more game after this. They go to Moose Jaw tomorrow. But tonight, they wrap up their games at the Brandt Center with a visit from the Brandon Wheat Kings. So they're also going to be celebrating the 1974 Memorial Cup Championship team. And from that Memorial Cup Championship team, we chat with the one, the only, Dennis Sobchuk, who was the leading scorer in that game. I chatted with him earlier today. Here's how that conversation went. Joining us on the Western Pizza Hotline today, a bit of Regina Pats history here. Dennis Sobchuk, a member of that Memorial Cup winning team back in 1974. Dennis, how's it going here today?
Hey, it's doing great. Good to talk with you again, Ryan.
Hey, great to hear from you, Dennis. Can you believe it's been 50 years since that Memorial Cup season in Regina?
How time does fly. It doesn't stop for anybody. But, yeah, it is hard. It's actually, you know, thinking back, it was 44 years prior to us winning it. So when you look at it, it's been 93, 94 years, and we've been the only team to win it for the Pats, which kind of tells you how hard the Memorial Cup really is to win, because there's been years I've watched teams that I always felt were as good as, if not better, but just didn't make it to the end. And I know that the Pats have been there a couple times and since then, and it's a tough sled, and sometimes luck goes with it. But you know, I can honestly say our team had a lot of talent. It was diversified, and it was what you really needed. Was we had four lines, and all four contributed, and you know, great goalie, good defense, forwards, kind of make a good team.
Take us back to training camp, if you could, from that year. Was there a feeling that group was going to be something really special that year?
Yeah, you know, we had something to prove. You know, we were kind of a family. Our very first year in, I think it was 71-72, we had 11 rookies, of which, you know, when you have that many rookies, you call it a rebuilding year. And that year we won the division, and we went to the Western Canada Finals, and we went six games. And so we had the talent. We knew it. It's just that the second year we kind of got it rubbed in our face, and we lost four straight in the playoffs. So we had lots to prove the last year, and you know, knowing how hard it is, and what we had to do. But you know, we worked through it. We were fortunate that year. We, you know, looking back now, we went to Sweden. We got to play, you know, a lot of great teams, national teams, or almost like pro teams, and which made us kind of grow up and mature as excellent hockey players. And I think that helped us out. And you know, we, after 3 years together, we just knew there was character, and there's a lot of tradition on the line.
68 goals and 146 points for you in that regular season that year. Did it just seem easy, some of those games, or what?
No. I look and I go, you know, it was tough. It was a tough league, and every game was, you know, it wasn't a slack. You know, you had to give it everything you had. I was fortunate. I had some great wingers, you know, teammates and defensemen that helped me out, and, you know, great goalie. We had this unbelievable supporting staff when you think about it. You know, Greg Jolly that year was the number one draft pick in the NHL. Clark Gillies, Hall of Famer, four Stanley Cups. Eddie Staniewski, unbelievable goalie. He was the CHL Player of the Year. So I was fortunate that I had a lot of talent around me that helped me out also.
Those playoffs, you faced Saskatoon in the first round, Swift Current in the second, and then a really high-powered Calgary team in the final. Take us back to that playoff run, if you could.
Well, Saskatoon was a tough one. I believe I was looking at some of the history books, and we, you know, it took us six, but we knew we could beat them. The series that really turned us around was the Swift Current. You know, we being the home team, we had the extra game, but Swift Current come into the Exhibition Stadium and beat us the first game. And in the second game, they had us down 5-1 after the second period. And that didn't look too bright, but just telling you how we had a lot of character and a lot of tradition going in our team. We ended up scoring, I think, 6 goals or 7 goals in the third period to win it. And then it seemed to be, you know, we just realized that we had the talent to go. And, you know, then we walked into Calgary, and everybody had a big part of the, you know, of every series. Glenn Burton, he had a great series against Calgary, and, you know, we had different guys coming up big, and we beat them 4 straight. We walked in. So going into the Memorial Cup, we thought, you know, we had a good chance. We knew we were one of 3 of the best teams in Canada, but you just never know how it goes. But as it turns out, history will tell you that we ended up with the cherry on the Sunday, and we won our all.
Cherry on the Sunday. I love that expression. That was the first time Regina won the Scotty Monroe Memorial Trophy as the Western Hockey League champion. Now just the second time in history. That's got to be hard to believe too, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, when you really do look at that team and what we accomplished that year, and to know that, you know, it took 50 years, we've already been 50, but 90-some years, and with all the tradition that the Regina Pats have, it's hard to believe that we're the only team, but, you know, that's the way fate goes sometimes. And when you compare teams, you know, I always say there's probably been some better teams, but as soon as you say, well, we won the Memorial Cup, that kind of puts us at the top of the list. So, yeah, it was a big thing, and it carried a lot of us in character. It gave me a great career playing for the Pats and giving me the opportunity to go on and play pro hockey. And, you know, I got to play in Europe and got to see the world due to just playing with the Pats and maybe winning the Memorial Cup.
That Memorial Cup final, you play Quebec, a team that beat you just 4 days earlier. Before that game, what was the room like?
Well, we knew what we were going into. They were a fast team and quick, and as it turned out, the first period, I think they had us down 3-0 in the first 5 minutes. And, you know, we just had to look around the dressing room after, I think, the first period. We're down 3-1. And all you had to do was just look around the dressing room and see that we had the character to do it. And, you know, you don't get 3 goals at a time. You just, you know, that's what they did. We just kind of went out and played our game. We had, you know, the tough Clark Gillies, you know, Greg Jolly, like I say. You know, we had unbelievable. We had 12 Regina boys from minor hockey that year playing for us. So, you know, that just shows how great of a association minor hockey had in Regina at that time. So, you know, we went into it, and we were very fortunate that we come out victorious.
Dennis Sobchuk joining us on the Western Pizza Hotline. Perfect pizza with a generous amount of toppings, plus Greek food like souvlaki, ribs, salads, all the goodness you can't make at home. Call Western Pizza today. Of course, you end up winning that game 7-4. Afterward, you go on to a professional career that begins in Phoenix in the WHA. For starters, what was playing hockey in the desert like in the 1970s?
Well, I never realized how nice and warm it was, you know, getting out of Saskatchewan, you know, when it's 40 or 50 below, it was great. We had a good attendance crowd. We, you know, they averaged around 10,000. They show now, and they're a pro team today, just showing that we were maybe ahead of our time. But, it was a rebuild. It was a new team, an expansion team. And I was very fortunate that after signing with Cincinnati that they were building a new arena. So they asked me where I wanted to be. The first year they actually wanted me to go to Cleveland with my final year with the Pats, but knowing that you know, the team was had a good chance, and for me to finish out my junior, so going to Phoenix was a great thing for me. I always loved going to Phoenix. After 20-30 years of playing and living, I moved back there for about 10-12 years. It was good. We played a lot of old superstars. You know, Bobby Hull was in the league then, and Gordie Howe and Frank Mahovlich, and, you know, I could go on and on of all these greats. So it was a good experience for me.
You then move on to play in Cincinnati, where you get a chance to play with your brother for a season. Now, that had to have been pretty cool for you.
Well, that was part of the deal when I signed with Cincinnati. You know, they signed him also, which was always, you know, we were pretty close together, and he played for the Pats. He was 3 years older than me, so I never really got to play with him. And it was a lot of fun. He did very well. He scored 20, 30 goals his first year. And, you know, he was a buzzsaw in those days, you know, with the Philadelphia Flyers. They had the Broad Street Bullies, they called them. Everybody wanted to have big guys. So it kind of put him in a rough spot to be, you know, trying to make it in the big leagues. But he got himself 5 years, and it was fun. My dad got to scout for the Cincinnati Stingers, too. So it was a good package, and we had a lot of fun. And it was a unique league.
I for sure remember hearing stories about WHA teams sharing planes when it came to travel. Did that ever happen to you?
Oh, yeah. We would sit in the one team would probably sit in the front and the other team would be in the back. There's a lot of stories that, you know, that made that league kind of unique. It gave the opportunity for a lot of hockey players that were just on the borderline of playing pro. You know, there was something like 800 contracts, 700 to 800 contracts of WHA, NHL, American Hockey League. So it really gave a chance for the older guys too. When I went to Phoenix, I played with guys like Jerry Odrowski. He was like 30, 36, 37. Bobby Barlow was another one. He was like 38. So it extended a lot of careers, but definitely there was a lot of characters in that league.
You get to Edmonton for a couple of years. Your last year in Edmonton, you play with Wayne Gretzky. That had to have been pretty cool to be on his rookie pro team in the WHA.
It was fun, you know, looking back, talking to Gretz and everything. We always, you know, reminisce about what, you know, what went on in the dressing room and around the league. And, you know, he was definitely a unique hockey player. He came when he was 18 years old, and you could see that he had all the talent in the world. And for me to as I said one other time, that I probably had the best seat in the arena to watch him. I was sitting on the bench watching this young guy develop, and to see how he turned out and his history of being, you know, the greatest hockey player, to play with him and to know him and to be a friend is a tribute.
You get to the NHL in 1979 with Detroit. What was it like to, you know, get that call to the NHL?
It was fun. You know, I mean, it was prior to that, I had a shoulder separation with Edmonton, and then when I went to Detroit, I had another one, so things kind of turned sour for me at that point. But, you know, I got to play with, you know, Dale McCord. He was their kind of star. Peter Mahovlich, Errol Thompson. He was Rogie Vachon, you know, Jimmy Rutherford. You know, when I say these names, they keep popping up now. I think Rutherford is the GM for Vancouver Canucks, or his president. And so, you know, we had a good team, but it just didn't develop for me. And I was fortunate enough that I got to go to Europe after that. I got to play in Switzerland for 1 year and Austria for two.
How was the experience in Europe for you?
Well, Europe was my kind of hockey. But first of all, the ice was bigger, so I wouldn't get hit as much. And it was fast, and it wasn't as much as physical, which was, you know, after a couple shoulder operations, it was kind of a more of my style. And we only played like 30 games, so I got to learn to ski a lot, especially in Austria. And you know, with a beautiful, lived in Innsbruck, so they had two Winter Olympics. So I was very lucky that you know, that there was a beautiful city, and it was a city of a uniqueness. So and it was fun, you know. It was a nice way to finish out my career, and then moving back home, I had my brother and I had purchased some land, and he's still farming, and I'm still a gypsy moving on.
That's good to hear, Dennis. Do you have any regrets over your hockey career?
Not really. You know, when the people I've met, you know, that's, I mean, hockey wise, you know, I wish I would have done better as a pro. I'm fortunate that I played with a bunch of great guys, you know, and I guess friendships there. But not really, because you know, I met my wife in Cincinnati. We've been married 44 years now, and, you know, we've got two children. So just looking at what the history of I have behind me, it's kind of hard to even think about hockey anymore as being if I made the right or wrong decision. So I think it's just the camaraderie and the friendship of the people I've met. And, you know, Saskatchewan are great people, and I got a lot of good friends there. I get to go home, see my brother, and see a lot of old friends. So, you know, as it turned out, I'm quite happy with the way things are.
After you finished playing hockey, what was life like for you?
You know, I stopped at 30, and I thought I was getting old then, and I see the guys playing now. But it was a transition. You know, all of a sudden you live in the fast lane. You're always traveling. You're flying, everything else. And, you know, I moved back to Lang and was farming, but it just didn't, you know, farming wasn't probably the most economic thing to do at that time. So I was fortunate enough that the Pats, again, gave me another opportunity to coach. I was assistant coach under Doug Sauter for 2 years, and then I took over after 1 year. And it was difficult because I was always a player to want to get out there and do things and change things. And as a coach, it wasn't as much fun because you didn't have as much control. And so I moved on and had many other opportunities to stay in hockey. I worked with CCM, being their pro rep for, I think, like 8 years. So I stayed in the dressing rooms and around hockey players pretty well most of my life.
How closely have you followed the Pats since you left the team?
Yeah, you know, funny, you kind of lose contact. Talking to my brother and talking to his friends back home, they'll always tell me where they are. Then John Paddock was with them. I known John for years and, you know, brought back interest. And then the Bedard kid, you know, he's made me get back to being interested in it and seeing how good he's doing and how great he's doing even today. He's making you proud to be an alumni of the Pats. And so it was a tough time at the start, but now looking back, you know, I don't think I'd change anything.
And last question here for you, Dennis. What do you think of the game overall today? I mean, you played in an era where, you know, it was very high scoring and, you know, like it's more defensive now, I'd say. But what do you think of the game today?
Well, when I worked for CCM, I kind of realized that the game had changed then. This is going back 10, 20 years ago, 30 maybe, and realizing these players are bigger, they're faster, you know, and it's just harder to move around that ice. It's almost like they should have all Olympic-size ice because there's not much room out there anymore. But, you know, I was a goal scorer. Maybe my back-checking Bob Turner would always tell me I couldn't check my hat, but you know, today's world, you know, offense kind of sells the game. I think that if it was a little bit more open style, it may help the game out. But it seems to be very popular in America now. So you know, I guess it's just the way times change.
Dennis Sobchuk on the Western Pizza Hotline. Thank you so much again for the time here today, and again, congrats on winning a 1974 Memorial Cup championship that's getting celebrated tonight here at the Brand Center.
I know it's a great honor, and you know, I'm sorry that I couldn't make it. My wife said her knee needed some therapy and surgery, so it's always great to get back home to Saskatchewan and see the friends.
And that was Dennis Sobchuk of the 1974 Memorial Cup champion Regina Pats on the Western Pizza Hotline. Perfect pizza with a generous amount of toppings, plus Greek food like souvlaki, ribs, salads, all the goodness you can't make at home. Call Western Pizza today. And of course, this sports cage is live from the Brand Center, thanks to Nelson Holmes, supplying home packages and RTMs for over 65 years. We'll step aside and continue on with a busy Friday edition of the Sports Cage right here on 620 CKRM. Sports Ticker, brought to you by Sherwood Co-op. Sherwood Co-op will pump your fuel while you stay warm inside your car or just pay at the pump all winter long. As we mentioned off the top of the show, the Regina Pats have their final home game of the season tonight. They are getting set to host the Brandon Wheat Kings. Puck drop is at 7 o'clock tonight. We will have a special pregame show for you tonight, starting right after the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM, beginning at 6 o'clock. Elsewhere in the WHL tonight, involving Saskatchewan teams, Saskatoon visits Prince Albert, Swift Current entertains Calgary. Moose Jaw has the night off tonight. They host Regina tomorrow night to wrap up the Pats' season. The SJHL playoffs begin tonight with all four series getting underway with Game 1 tonight. Flin Flon hosts Kindersley. Estevan visits Melfort. Humboldt is home to Weyburn, and the Battlefords take on Melville. at the World Women's Curling Championships. Rachel Holman is now 11-0 in the round robin after smoking Scotland today, 8-2 after seven ends of play. Holman's Team Canada rink will play South Korea to wrap up the round robin tonight. And the Attorney General for the District of Columbia contends that the NBA's Washington Wizards and NHL's Washington Capitals are obligated to play their games in the downtown arena through 2047, the city's latest salvo to keep the teams from leaving. A letter from Brian Schwalb wrote this week to Monumental Sports and Entertainment. He cited a 2007 bond agreement for renovations that extended the team's lease for 20 more years beyond the initial time frame through 2027. The letter comes as Monumental's $2 billion plan for a new arena across the Potomac River in Alexandria has stalled in the Virginia legislature. Schwalb said D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser's $500 million offer to renovate Capital One Arena still stands. Bowser is in an op-ed piece in the Washington Post last month urged Monumental to consider that and said the city would enforce the lease terms necessary. That is your sports ticker for Sherwood Co-op.
The Kings of Saskatchewan Sports Talk. This is the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM.
And welcome back to the Friday edition of the Sports Cage. I'm your host, Ryan McNally. We got a busy show for you today, folks. As, you know, we had Dennis Sobchuk on earlier on in Hour 1. We'll get to our next guest in just a moment. But Regina Pats, the three 20-year-olds, are going to join us live in Hour 2 to kick off the 4 o'clock hour. We'll also hear from Curl Saskatchewan on the mixed provincials and also something called triples curling that's taking on this week in Unity. We'll also hear from Sportsnet's Arash Madani coming up in Hour 3 for Smart Investing Solutions. Be smart with your money. Call Brian Gawley at Smart Investing Solutions 546-2533. And then another member of the 1974 Memorial Cup champion, Regina Pats, will join us live right here from the Brandt Center. Kim McDougall going to join us to close out the show in Hour 3. But first things first, let's head back out to the Western Pizza Hotline and chat with Saskatchewan Volleyball CEO Aaron Demyan. Aaron, how's it going here today?
Oh, really good, Ryan. Yeah, how about yourself?
Doing fairly well. Aaron, Sask Cup in Regina this weekend. Maybe just describe what Sask Cup is for those who don't know the volleyball scene all that well.
Oh, sure, yeah. So this weekend is our Sask Cup number 3 for 17U women. We've got between 2 and 3 Sask Cups for every age group, and those age groups are between 13U and 18U boys and girls. And these tournaments are held to kind of give us an idea on how strong everybody is, so that when we go to provincials, there's divisions and the teams are in the right division. So this is the third one for this age group. We've got 30 teams from all over the province coming into the city, and should be a good weekend.
Is this a fairly new thing for Saskatchewan volleyball?
No, we actually have been running club volleyball in the province for 50 years, maybe. It's definitely grown, though, in the last 10 years or so. As we've kind of been hosting more and more events, we've been getting more teams involved. So, the tournaments themselves and this structure we've been running for about 10 years or so.
So the SAS Cups in particular been running for about 10 years.
Yeah, maybe a little bit more than that. We try to host them in a lot of different communities. So this weekend, we got Regina hosting the 17U women. At the same time, we also have 15U women going in Saskatoon, and Mormon's hosting the 18U men. So kind of like spread out all the tournaments around the province and have different communities host them.
So is this the first time that Regina's host a SAS Cup, or is it fairly rare for Regina to get one?
Yeah, we kind of like focus a lot on Saskatoon and Warman just because they have kind of larger facilities that can accommodate lots of teams. We typically do run one or two in Regina. We're trying to host more, so hopefully in the future we can get into some of the larger facilities. But this weekend we have some great facilities that some of our clubs own and operate. The Volley Barn is down on the exhibition grounds, and QCBC facility is in the city here, as well as Tuxedo Courts. So they're smaller venues, but they're excellent for the tournaments that we run.
So maybe just describe why, you, like, obviously, like, there's high school gyms out there too, but maybe just describe why that's not really ideal for these types of tournaments, because again, these are massive events.
Yeah, I guess the main thing is just the high schools typically have their own schedules, and we need to kind of organize ourselves in the fall so that we know we have the venues that are going to accommodate all the teams that we have playing. So we try to avoid using high schools if possible, just because there's fluctuations in their schedule, and you got to make sure we're locked in. So we try and go with the larger facilities if we can.
Aaron Demian joining us on the Western Pizza Hotline. Perfect pizza with a generous amount of toppings, plus Greek food like souvlaki, ribs, salads, all the goodness. You can't make it home. Call Western Pizza today. Aaron, how is volleyball in Saskatchewan? Is it growing? And if it is growing, what is contributing to that growth?
Yeah, it's growing tremendously, especially coming out of the pandemic. I think it's increased about 25% since before the pandemic. And so the number of teams are increasing. There's more communities getting involved. Like, we have clubs from all over the province. There's LaRange and Meadow Lake, Nipawin, all the way down to Estevan and Yorkton, and all kinds of like little communities. The large centers, Regina's got about 8 clubs. So I think overall, like the growth, it is a great sport. It's great activity for the kids. There's lots of camaraderie among all the players, and we try and run big events, and so I think the kids really enjoy that big atmosphere when they're playing in a facility that has, you know, 100 teams all playing at the same time. It's kind of a cool environment, so I think all those things are leading to the growth.
There's obviously a school season that runs September to November-ish. That's at least the one I've coached. But maybe walk through what a full volleyball season looks like for some of these players.
Yeah, so a lot of the players, they do play high school. For some of our younger age groups, they do in elementary school. But their season typically starts in September, and so they'll play on their school team. And club tryouts typically happen in the fall. Some clubs will offer tryouts, some clubs just recruit their own players, and they get started in late November with practices, and then we start running our tournaments in January. So January through typically late April is the club competition season. So yeah, it's kind of a long season for the athletes, but obviously they're enjoying it. They keep on coming out.
And obviously they keep coming back, right? So it might not be just... Yeah. It might be a long season, but definitely not too long for them anyway. What would you say is one thing your sport needs right now?
Well, I'd say just because we're growing so much, it would be great to have a larger facility in more communities. So right now, Saskatoon and Warman, there's excellent facilities there. There's good facilities in Regina as well. It would just be nice to have a larger one where we can run big events and more consistently come to the city with these tournaments.
And what are I was watching online, you guys have some events heading up all the way into April. So what are some of those other events coming up for Sask Volleyball?
Yeah, there's more Sask Cups still coming for each age group. And I think we're wrapping that up in early April, and then provincials are held in Saskatoon and Warman. That's 4 weekends in a row from mid-April till the beginning of May. So that's kind of taken up all of our time right now, just getting all these tournaments done every weekend. And then after that, a lot of the clubs are going to go off to Nationals in Edmonton this year.
And from Nationals, I guess you move into summer season as well. How involved is Sask Volleyball when it comes to beach season, which, of course, coming up here in a matter of months?
Yeah, we definitely support any of the groups that are running, whether it's adult or youth programs. So some of our clubs run youth beach volleyball programming. We kind of focus more on the high performance side of things, as well as provincial championships. So our provincials for beach volleyball, they're in August, and any of the clubs or athletes are eligible to just attend that event. And we're also actually lucky enough, we got beach volleyball involved in the South Summer Games. So this will be the first year up in Westminster where beach volleyball is a part of those games, where the 50 new athletes are able to play from around the province.
Aaron, it's always great to chat volleyball, especially here on the Sports Cage. Thank you so much for making the time here today to join us here on the Cage.
You bet. Yeah, thanks a lot for the opportunity. Take care.
Awesome. That was Aaron Demyan, the CEO of Saskatchewan Volleyball, here on the Western Pizza Hotline. Perfect pizza with a generous amount of toppings, plus Greek food like souvlaki, ribs, salads, all the goodness you can't make at home. Call Western Pizza today. Coming up a little later on here in the show, we'll have the SJHL report from Benny Walchuk coming up next right here on the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM.
Saskatchewan's best coverage of the Saskatchewan Roughriders is on the Sports Cage right here on the mighty 620 CKRM.
It's time for the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League report on the Sports Cage. I'm Benny Walchuk. The much-anticipated SJHL playoffs have arrived, and it's time for a quick series preview for each of the four quarterfinal matchups that kick off tonight. The top-ranked Flin Flon Bombers begin their playoff run on home ice at the legendary Whitney Forum as they start their first-ever playoff series with the Kindersley Clippers. The Bombers are looking for their first league title in over 30 years, took three of the four regular season meetings against the Clippers team, who's returning to the postseason for the first time since the 2018-19 season. Meanwhile, the hottest team heading into the playoffs is the second-seeded Melford Mustangs. They headline the second quarterfinal matchup as entertaining the Estevan Bruins. The Mustangs won 9 of their last 10 games heading in, while the Bruins look to avenge after dropping 4 of 6 meetings to the Mustangs in their regular season matchups. Melford led their last playoff meeting 3-1 before the playoffs were stopped in 2020 due to the pandemic. Another red-hot team is the Nutrien Division champion Humble Broncos, who will be making their 7th straight trip to the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League playoffs. The Broncos have been on the right in the thick of things the last number of years, but have been stymied in the semifinal round the last couple, when the Red Wings look to ride one of the league's hottest netminders in Dazza Mitchell as they look for the first-round upset. Humble won 3 of the 4 regular season meetings between the two teams, who are meeting in the postseason for the first time since 2015. And finally, it'll be the 3rd-ever meeting in the postseason between the 4th-seeded Battleford North Stars and the 5th-seeded Melville Millionaires, who are returning for the playoffs for the first time in 5 years. North Stars won the first playoff meeting in 7 games back in 1985, while the Mills won the latest in 2014 in 5 games en route to their last playoff series victory. The resurgent Millionaires under head coach and GM Doug Johnson took the season series 3-1. The first round of the SJHL playoffs will run from tonight until April the 2nd and will feature 4 best-of-7 game series. Round 2 will run from April 4th to April 15th and will feature the final 4 teams reseeded based on whomever advances from round number 1. Then the 2024 Tecantera Seats Cup Final is scheduled to begin on April the 19th. With today's Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League report on the Sports Cage, I'm Benny Walchuk.
Thank you so much, Benny Walchuk, the busiest guy in the SJHL. He covers 2 SJHL teams in Yorkton in Melville, and then, of course, hops across the Sask-Manitoba border to cover Swan Valley as well. Friday edition of the Sports Cage for Nelson Holmes, supplying home packages and RTMs for over 65 years. Thank you so much for Nelson Holmes for helping us out, bringing the Sports Cage to you today. And if you want to join in on the show, text us. Shoot us a text on the Capital Ford Lincoln text line for Capital Ford Lincoln, Saskatchewan's number one Ford retailer, CapitalFordLincoln.com. Before we had to hit a break there, I, of course, had an interview with the CEO of Saskatchewan Volleyball's, Aaron Demyan, and very passionate about, you know, volleyball in this province. It has definitely gotten bigger and better since I played over 10 years ago. So looking forward to seeing what's next for that sport, and definitely coached it for the last few years now. Well, won't be back this year just because of life and commitments and such, but definitely looking forward to what volleyball becomes this, I'd say, next 5-10 years here in Saskatchewan. Maybe we do get those facilities built that Mr. Demyan was talking about, and maybe we do get more bigger tournaments here in Regina and Saskatchewan as a whole. It also brings me back to the point where a modified version of Hoopla takes place tomorrow, right, in Moose Jaw, and I know some folks were rather divided about that issue, and I'll be honest here, I really like the fact that they are going ahead, and it's nothing against teachers, nothing against the province or anything like that, but at what point are we as adults going to stop punishing kids for the decisions we make? And that's what it really boils down to for me. Like, none of those kids have really any say until they turn 18 and can vote this fall or this spring, whenever this election takes place. Not one of them has a say on what happens between the teachers and the province. So I'm really loving the fact that they are going to get to play this weekend, and just wishing the best of luck to all teams, but especially a team that I coached. Well, I didn't coach the basketball team. I coached their volleyball team this fall, the Winston-Knowles Senior Girls. There's a lot of overlap from my team to theirs. There's about four players playing for the Senior Girls basketball team that played volleyball in this fall, so hoping for the best for them as they go for a gold medal against another Regina team, the Leboldus Golden Suns. So, again, best of luck to all teams, and hope everyone has fun this weekend, and hope they play hard and play well, because that's, they've earned it. They've earned the chance to, you know, represent their school one more time before what, you know, becomes a tricky situation between the teachers and the province, and I really hope that gets sorted out as well. But from a sports perspective, it's good to get at least one more tournament in their, I guess, high school career. Why are we here at the Brand Center today? Well, the Regina Pats are, you know, celebrating the 50th anniversary of their last Memorial Cup. They won it in 1974, and that team was absolutely loaded. Ed Staniowski in net. We will be talking with Kim McDougall a little later on in the show here today. But, you know, we also talked to Dennis Sobchak, who led that team in scoring with 68 goals and 146 points. And you might be thinking, wow, those are big numbers. That was actually a decrease from his 1973 season. He actually had more points in that 1973 season that he was saying that, you know, the team didn't do all that well, but bounced back and came out strong in 74, won the division, and then played in 16 playoff games on their way to the Memorial Cup. And to do that this time, this year, you'd have to sweep every single round. So definitely something that's quite impressive for that 1974 team. And the teams they've had to play, my goodness, that was a style of play that is definitely hard on the body, for sure. We will take another break here for news, and we'll be back with more on the Sports Cage after this. Again, the Friday edition of the Sports Cage brought to you by Nelson Homes, supplying home packages and RTMs for over 65 years. Ryan McNally hosting the show for you on a Friday from the Brandt Center, right here on 620 CKRM.
Welcome inside the Radio Octagon. This is Saskatchewan's number one sports talk show, The Sports Cage, on 620 CKRM.
And we're back. The Friday edition of The Sports Cage is brought to you by Nelson Homes, supplying home packages and RTMs for over 65 years. I'm your host, Ryan McNally, for today's show. We still got a jam-packed show for you later for you today. Chase the Ace is going to be coming up just after 4:30, and Rash Madani from Sportsnet will be joining us from Dallas, Texas in Hour 3 to kick things off. But before we get there, we got a special treat for y'all this afternoon as the Regina Pats play tonight at the Brandt Center right here under the orange top. 7 o'clock start. We'll have a pregame show beginning for you at 6 o'clock right here on 620 CKRM. We're going to be celebrating the 1974 Memorial Cup Championship team. But also, tonight is the last home game for three 20-year-olds for the Regina Pats. So I'm joined by Carson Haynes, Ty Gibson, and Keegan Slaney right here live from the Brandt Center. Gentlemen, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah, good. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Hey, glad to have you. Now, guys, how would you feel, and you can each take your turn answering this, how would you feel your WHL career is gone with, you know, two games left to go?
Obviously, lots of up and downs as there always are in hockey. But I think I had lots of fun over my career. I made lots of memories, lots of great friends, obviously, and I couldn't have asked for a better way to end it here with Regina Pats. It's been awesome.
Yeah, I mean, agreed. On top of what Slane said, made some childhood friends and longtime friends, and I mean, it's spent a lot of time outside of Regina, but it was nice to be able to finish up my career here.
It flew by, but happy with how it went and how it ended, for sure.
And one of the Vaughn twins, I couldn't tell which one, that just flew by here. But now you see him, now you don't. Yes. Yeah. None of you began this season with Regina. Has this last season, albeit not as successful as anyone really would have liked, has this one been a special one for you guys?
Obviously, being a 20-year-old is tough, knowing that this is your last year and you gotta move on after this. But I couldn't have been treated any better here by my teammates, coaches, staff, everything like that. So no, I couldn't have asked for a better send-off for my 20-year-old year, minus a couple of win games. But that's the way hockey goes sometimes. So
yeah, totally agreed. Obviously, you always hope to make playoffs, but obviously we didn't make it this year. But besides that, it's been awesome to be able to play for the Pats, and I mean, I think we can all attest that got treated like first-class citizens, and it was nice to make some friends here. And besides that, yeah, it was solid.
Yeah, for sure. You know, Regina's a special place to play. The fans are passionate, and the team's passionate, and from coaching staff to the general manager and all the outside staff, it's a really special place to play. And just happy to end my career here.
How much did you guys know about Regina and playing for the Pats before you guys got here? Because I'm always a little interested to learn that, or find that out about that, because obviously this city is pretty historic when it comes to hockey, right? This is the oldest major junior team in the world, right? It's a long-standing tradition here. So what did you guys kind of know about Regina before coming here?
One of the only things that I kind of knew is all my buddies from Sask, they all love the Pats. They all grew up watching the Pats and, idolizing those players because, it's such a historic team. It's a special place to play for sure.
Yeah, I honestly didn't know a whole lot. I had a couple of buddies who I played here when I was younger in the league, but obviously, whatever they say, they said really good things about it and stuff like that, but I didn't know what to expect when coming here, but it's been awesome, so...
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know much either, coming from the West Coast and playing in the U.S. Div for a while. I had one friend that played back here when you guys hosted the Memorial Cup. That was a while ago. But besides that, it's just, the things you hear around the league, just first class and the environment and place to play.
Fair enough. And pretty unique thing. All three of you in your last season in the WHL all play the same position. All the blue liners here. All new to the team, relatively. Keegan, you've been here for most of the season, right? Is that something that you guys have kind of talked about, throughout the year since Ty got here?
I guess even at the start of the year with Parker Brugge here, it was all D-men, 20-year-olds. So you don't see that very often, I guess. But it's cool. I think we tried to do our best to help all the other D-men out and getting ready for the rest of their careers. But it's definitely an interesting thing that we had here, but I think we all bonded over that pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a first for me to see three 20-year-olds on the blue line, but I mean, between us, there's a lot of experience and just trying to pass some things on to the younger guys. And obviously the rest of the D-Corps was a bit of a younger group, and bringing in some younger guys, just try to pass on all the knowledge that we have.
Yeah, and playing together and bonding over playing on different teams and bonding on our experiences, I think really helped us. And all three of us are really close, and I'm just happy to know these guys and be able to play with them.
And barring a change, right, this blue line's going to be pretty young next year.
Yep.
Right, so what are some of those lessons that you're passing down to those younger blue liners coming up?
I don't know, I feel like a lot of the kids coming up nowadays are focus a lot on offense, which is understandable seeing how some of the things are in the NHL and stuff like that. But you got to realize that you are a defenseman at the end of the day, and you got to play defense, and you got to be good in your own end to start, and then stuff like that will come after. So I think that's one of the things that I think we could help with. I think we're all pretty solid defensively, and just playing from the D zone out is very important as a defenseman.
Yeah, I'd say just getting into a groove early in a game, either get a bump, get a shot, even just a stick on puck, just kind of getting into the game early and just kind of settling yourself in, and instead of kind of trying to chase the game, just let the game come to you.
Yeah, you know, you got 60 on a team at once, and each guy's got to find a role, and I think that's important for a younger guy just to figure out his role and build his game around that and then expand himself after that.
Keegan Slaney, Ty Gibson, and Carson Haynes joining us live at the Brandt Center on the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM. Guys, away from the rink, how do you celebrate this last home game? How do you get away from the rink? You obviously have one more tomorrow night in Moose Jaw. You know, how do you recognize this accomplishment?
I don't know. I think we'll have a fun night on Saturday night getting all the guys together. I don't know if we'll go too far into detail about how that's going to go, but you know, obviously we want to just send it off with our teammates and have a good time and just spend some time together, to be honest with you. But yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, I think just hanging out as a group. I know all three of us have our families in town, which will be nice to be able to see our parents, or I know these two got girlfriends and stuff. But no, it'll just be nice to be able to hang out with the guys and just kind of just talk and share some stories. It's kind of the nice way to do it.
Yeah, for sure. You know, at the end of the year, everybody has plans for the summer, and you know, they go to camps and they move on, and so it's nice to get together and, you know, enjoy each other for, you know, a couple nights, and then move on and, you know, move on to the next step.
What's one thing each of you may or may not miss about Regina? And it could be playing for the Pats, or could be just something outside. You know, for me, if I was playing, I would not miss the cold. But you know, what would be like one thing you may miss about Regina?
I think I might have to go with maybe some of the driving here. Sometimes be a little frustrated on the way to the rink, especially when it's cold outside. But you know, I guess it's kind of anywhere you go. But yeah,
blue van is a mess. I'll say that.
I got to drive down it every day. Don't worry. I know that. Yeah, but the cold will not be missed. Trust me.
No, I agree. The cold coming from the West Coast, it was definitely a bit of a shock. So I got to go with the cold on that one.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, Regina is such a hot spot for activities in the wintertime, and having to move to the Cooperators rink and practice over there wasn't the best. So, you know, that might be the one thing I'm not going to miss. But
I agree with that one.
Yeah. Nope, totally. You know, back in the day, they used to have the golf cart for the goalies.
Yeah.
I don't know if they did that this year or not.
Trust me, I tried to pull the 20 cart. I tried to grab it and rip it over there for sure.
Oh, man. And I like for when the Briar was here, you know, you guys getting some love on TSN too.
Oh, yeah.
Walking from the rink to watch some curling too. Yeah. That was pretty cool.
Yeah,
exactly.
So, Ty, you mentioned a couple times now coming from the West Coast, you know, and different conditions, obviously, different, style of hockey, you know. Have you kind of, paid attention to that Everett Silvertips team that is looking to, you know, make a deeper run into that Western Conference playoffs?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I got friends that are... I was there for four or five seasons with them. Obviously, I was there for a long time, so I have some connections over there, and obviously I try to keep in contact with those guys. But, I mean, also just trying to focus on our own season here, and at the time, at the beginning, was playoffs with a focus, and now obviously that's not the deal. But, no, I mean, it'll be cool to see what those guys are able to do. I mean, I got friends over there, and Just wish them all the best.
Keegan and Carson, have you guys been kind of keeping tabs on your old teams as well?
Yeah, for sure. You know, you got buddies on the team, and you hope that they do well. And, you know, it's just, yeah, you want to make playoffs, and, you know, you hope the best for, you know, your old team as well.
Yeah, definitely same as me. Like these guys said, you make connections pretty easy when you play hockey. So I got lots of friends on Calgary. I don't know many guys in Edmonton anymore. I was obviously really young when I was there. Most of those guys are gone. But yeah, no, the guys in Calgary, I know they're fighting for a playoff spot right now. So I guess we'll see where that one goes.
And Keegan, you might have wished them all the best, except for when they came to Regina or when you came to Calgary, I imagine.
Oh, I do, and I was really happy with that 4-0 season series. I'll tell you that. Wish them all the best when they're not playing us. Yeah, no, we definitely took it to them this year, so that was good at least.
Man, that last home game before the U.S. road trip, Joe, that was awesome. Like, I was calling that one on Access TV, and man, that was fun.
It was a good one, for sure.
Yeah. Is that the highlight of the year for you guys? That particular game, getting Huey's first WHL shutout?
It's definitely up there for sure. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a good one for sure.
What would be another one for each of you?
I'd say first time I ever played in Lethbridge, my hometown.
Yeah?
Yeah, I got 2 goals, so that was pretty huge.
Not a big deal, hey? the one game when we our SpongeBob game, I think it was, when we beat Manhattan overtime, that was a pretty special one too. The boys were pretty fired up for that one, so I'll remember that one for sure.
I would probably say, I believe we had a third period comeback against Red Deer. We were here, I believe, as before our U.S. road trip, but I thought that was a pretty big comeback for the guys.
Yeah.
Keegan, those SpongeBob jerseys, though. Or Patrick Starr jerseys.
They were wild, hey?
They were something. And on hockey, made hockey fights now, too, because I think, Jackson got in the scrap that night, too.
Yeah.
That was a spirited game, too. Like, you guys were going right at him, too.
Yep. No, that was a really good one. I think that was probably my most special game of the year. It was cool to see the guys band together like that against a good high-powered offense team.
And what did Oasis Weisblatt do to earn the amount of physical play that he got that night? Because everyone had number 7 circled and just hit him all night.
Yeah, you know, he plays hard, and you know, he tries to get under guy's skin, and you know, it's just the way he plays, and you know, we all play hockey and we all love it, and you know, it just kind of moves the game forward and brings the best out of, you know, everybody for sure.
Yeah.
Obviously, you guys got a big game-ish tonight, we know, with, you know, a lot of pomp and circumstance around it, right? I mean, on top of there being the usual, quote-unquote usual, you know, awards for players, year-end, last home game of the season, you also celebrate the last time this franchise won a Memorial Cup, too. So, like, how do you guys dial in for a game like this?
I don't know. You really just have to try and treat it like any other game. It really is just a hockey game at the end of the day. There's all the outside stuff going on, and you want to like be present in that, but want to almost put it in the back of your mind a little bit and really try and focus on the hockey game that's at hand.
Yeah, I mean, just stick to your routine. I mean, everybody's got their warm-up or whatever it is they do, listen to their music. I think just sticking to that, and you know, obviously, like Slane said, having that in the back of your mind, but no, I think just warming up and getting to your game is the main priority.
Yeah, you know, it's gonna be a cool night to, you know, relive all the history of, you know, the city, and everybody's gonna really enjoy it, and you know, it's gonna be cool for us and all the younger guys to see that, and but yeah, you know, it's just a game at the end of the day, and you know, we want 2 points tonight.
Well, boys, best of luck tonight. We'll be watching and or listening, I guess, on 620 CKRM. And all the best with what's next, guys.
Awesome.
Thanks for having us.
That was Keegan Slaney, Ty Gibson, and Carson Haynes, the 20-year-olds on the blue line for the Regina Pats. When we come back, we'll get set for Chase the Ace, Saskatchewan Rough Riders edition, next on the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM.
Nobody covers your team like our team. This is the Sports Cage on the mighty 620 CKRM.
Breaking news on a Friday afternoon Sports Cage right here on 620 CKRM for Nelson Holmes, supplying home packages and RTMs for over 65 years. We have breaking news. Tom Wilson suspended 6 games for slashing Toronto Maple Leafs forward Noah Gregor. 6 games for what he claims is an accidental slash. That is goofy. I don't like that. Don't like that explanation at all. If you swing a stick at a guy, that's... you really can't plea innocence on that one. That is just pretty dumb. So, I'll be honest, kind of glad he's getting 6 games. For that slash, I'd say the same if he was a Leafs forward, too. Don't get me wrong, not a delusional Leafs fan here. Just speaking the truth. A slash to the head, sucks. Period. Well, you know what doesn't suck? Rachel Holman at the World Women's Curling Championships. Now 11-0. Well on her way as her Ottawa-based rink. Heading to straight to the semifinals at the World Women's Curling Championships in Sydney, Nova Scotia. Clobber-knocked Scotland today, 8-2 after seven ends of play. So looking forward to seeing what Rachel and the crew from Ottawa can do in the World Women's. Canada's looking for their first World Women's title since 2018. And only one country has won the titles since then. Switzerland has won four straight, 2019, you're off in 2020 due to the that situation, COVID-19, 2021, 22, and 23. So four straight titles for Switzerland at Terenzoni Rink that Holman beat earlier in this event. So looking to see if she can repeat that success a little later on in the playoffs, because you just know that Terenzoni will end up having to play Canada again at some point, or Canada will have to play Switzerland again. But that's something we'll just wait and see from Sydney, Nova Scotia. The Team Canada doing pretty well at the World Women's. We'll continue our show and be back with Chase the Ace next on the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM. Sports ticker for Nick's Service in Emerald Park, your local Massey Ferguson Challenger, Rogator, Gleaner, and Fence dealer. Call 781-1077. Or rather, for Bronco Plumbing and Heating, where professional service is guaranteed, they'll treat you right. 781-2090. We'll get to that Sports Cage clutch performer in just a little later on in the show. However, sports ticker time. The Regina Pats are back in action tonight here at the Brandt Center. Puck drops at 7 o'clock. We have a special pregame show for you beginning at 6 o'clock. Brandon Wheat Kings come to town. They're looking to lock in 6th place in the WHL's East Division. It's their last game of the regular season to do so. Elsewhere in the WHL tonight, PA hosts Saskatoon. Swift Current hosts Calgary. Moose Jaw off tonight. They host the Pats tomorrow night to wrap up the season for the Queen City Kids. SJHL playoffs begin tonight. All four series play game one this evening. Flin Flon hosting Kindersley. Estevan visits Melfort. Humboldt home to Weyburn. And the Battlefords take on Melville. Canada's Rachel Holman defeated Scotland's Rebecca Morrison 8-2 to secure the top seed in the Women's World Curling Championship. The unbeaten Ottawa-based side scored three in the second, stole a pair in the fifth when Morrison was light on a draw. Holman iced the victory with a draw for two in the seventh. As the first seed, Canada will start the first end with Hammer and have choice of stone color throughout the playoffs. Holman, Tracy Fleury, Emma Miskew, and Sarah Wilkes have won all 11 round-robin games they have played at Centre 200 in Sydney, Nova Scotia. They'll close out the round-robin schedule in the evening against South Korea. And we just heard it, breaking news, Tom Wilson of the Washington Capitals suspended for 6 games after a high stick or slash, whatever you want to call it, on Maple Leafs forward and former Moose Jaw Warrior Noah Gregor. Wilson had an in-person hearing via Zoom with the NHL's Department of Player Safety today. He received a double minor for high sticking on the play. That was your sports ticker for Bronco Plumbing and Heating.
Where Saskatchewan sports fans come to talk. This is the Sports Cage on Sports Radio 620 CKRM.
And we're back. Sports Cage live from the Brandt Center. On a Friday afternoon for Nelson Holmes, supplying home packages and RTMs for over 65 years. I'm your host, Ryan McNally, and we are going to head back to the main headquarters, 1900 Rose Street, for Riders Chase the Ace. Travis, are you ready?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Ryan. We are sitting in the boardroom with John from the Rough Rider Foundation. John, how you doing on this Friday?
Doing well, man. Doing really well. Can't complain at all. Can't complain about this weather, that's for sure.
It's getting nice. Snow's almost gone. Things are looking good. And we have $46,929.
We're close to that $47,000. We're real close.
All right. So we're going to draw a name here, and somebody is going to win at least $1,434 with the weekly prize. John, do the spin today, sir.
Here we go. And we have our winner from Indian Head.
Indian Head.
Their name is Kathy Beck.
Kathy Beck from Indian Head. We're going to jot down your name here. You've won at least $1,434. So we're going to try to get Kathy Beck on the line, and we'll pick a card once we do. John, while we wait for Kathy Beck to pick up her phone, let's talk about what the Rough Rider Foundation has been up to.
Absolutely. So, you know what? This was a really fun week for me, is because I was traveling a little bit this week with the Rough Rider Foundation and just our player ambassadors. So on Monday, I went out with a bit of a team to Melville, Saskatchewan, and we were with Mitch Picton, who was delivering.
Hometown represent.
There you go. Anyway, so we were out delivering some of our community programs, and that's our rider reading program and our Win with Wellness player presentations. And you know what? We put out a post today. It's so fulfilling to see, and Mitch and Brett, sorry. And then on Tuesday, I was in Raymore with Brett, and it's so awesome to see, like, yes, the community programs are being delivered to the kids, but some of the impact happens on the in-between stuff, right? So, like, you get to see Brett Lothar, like, the kids get this awesome community programming from him, and then recess hits, and realistically, Brett has a break. He doesn't have to go out and do these things, but he's going out with them, and he's playing catch, and it was funny, because, so that was Tuesday, and on Monday, we had that, like, +7 or +8 day. We were leaving the school, it was muddy, and then Tuesday, all of a sudden, it was -10 or -15 where we were at, and it was just, like, the change of weather, and so Brett was out there in basically a hoodie and a rider jersey playing with the kids, and again, it was really cold, and he did not have to do that, but he just...
You know those kids are going to be telling that story
exactly
for years,
right? You got Brett Lothar throwing the football, kicking the football to you, and so seeing things like that, and then Mitch too, like he had a break and it was awesome, but you know what, instead of taking the break and just sneaking into the teacher's lounge, he went and started playing with the kids in the gym and just playing dodgeball. So little fun things like that, right? That again, as my position as a fundraiser, it's just good to see. It kind of fills up your cup, really, just seeing what you're fundraising for and that impact for the kids, because you really do see it when they get to have that special interaction with a Rough Rider player.
Well, that's what you're helping support when you buy these Chase Hayes tickets. Not only possibly winning money, but you're helping support some initiatives like that.
It's really a win-win, right? I mean, you do get that excitement every Friday. You have a chance to win some big money. But again, all I can say is just telling the stories about what that money is supporting, because it really is making a difference. And again, just some of the interactions that you see the kids and their experiences too, right? For our Win with Wellness presentations, it's great to hear from some of the kids. I heard a story about a little girl that came from Ukraine, and she's talking about anxiety and the stress of switching from school, let alone school, but countries, right? And coming over, and just like she was able to relate so well to some of the stress tips and anxiety tips that that Brett was sharing with that
class.
Awesome. And again, it was really special to see, and just like, I always use this quote because my boss uses it a lot, but it fills your cup.
It really does. That's awesome to hear that Rough Riders go out and do things like this and help out communities all over the province.
Yeah.
Do we have Kathy on the line?
Yes, we do.
Hello. How are you doing on your Friday?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
We're doing well. Are you calling from Indian Head there?
No, I am actually calling from up north at McBride Lake.
Okay, what are you up to up there on your Friday?
Just taking a day off, the weekend off actually, and just relaxing.
Well, Kathy, I don't know if you heard, but you just won $1,434.
Oh, that's great.
That is fantastic.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And you could possibly win $46,929 if you draw that ace of spades.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm sitting here with John from the Rough Rider Foundation. We have a giant board here, 1 to 52, a deck of cards. Pick a number, and if you draw that ace of spades, that jackpot is all yours.
Okay, I picked the number 22.
22 is open, so John's got a stack here of envelopes. He's finding number 22 in the stack. We're going to rip her open. See if we can find that lucky number 22. All right.
Okay, opening the envelope here. We have a... It is a 10 of hearts. It is a 10 of hearts. Aww. Unfortunately, not the ace of spades, but we certainly appreciate you playing, Kathy.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for supporting the foundation, and have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you.
All right, John. So we keep on climbing. So we're not going to have Sports Cage next week, but you guys are still going to do the draw So they can follow along on your Facebook page?
That's right. Yeah. So the Sports Cage is obviously going to be down next week.
With Good Friday. Yeah.
Chase the Ace is still going, though. We're still giving away money.
You guys don't take a break.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it'll be on our Facebook live stream, as it always is every Friday. But this for that week specifically, it'll just be on Facebook live stream. So you can go to Sask Riders FDN on Facebook and tune in, because we're still going to be giving away money, and we still will be calling that winner at 4:30 next Friday.
Perfect, John. And if somebody wants to grab tickets,
absolutely,
fill them in.
Yep. You can go to Riderville/ChaseTheAce.com. You can get your tickets there. And I'm always going to keep pushing that you can also get your subscription, because that just makes it so much easier for you. When you buy, you're buying every week. So you get the automatic entry, and then you don't have to worry about buying week over week, and you can win like Kathy.
There we go. Thanks for coming in again, man.
Appreciate it, Travis.
That's been another edition of Chase the Ace Rider Edition.
It's time to step into the radio octagon. You're tuned to the Sports Cage on Saskatchewan Sports Radio, 620 CKRM.
Well, to wrap up hour number two of the Friday edition of the Sports Cage for Nelson Holmes, supplying home packages and RTMs for over 65 years. I'm your host, Ryan McNally, and this has been a busy show today. Hopefully, if you didn't miss anything, but if you did, we will be posting the podcast a little bit later on today. You can find that where podcasts are found or on 620ckrm.com. Chatted with Dennis Sobchuk in hour one, as well as Aaron Demian, the CEO of Sask Volleyball. Both of those in hour one. Had the Regina Pats 3 20-year-old defensemen, Ty Gibson, Keegan Slaney, and Carson Haynes all on the show earlier in hour two. And we'll be jumping into a chat that I had earlier today with Curl Saskatchewan's own Steve Turner in just a little bit here. And the big reason why I chatted with Steve here today is mixed provincials are going on in Kindersley this weekend, as well as a newer event called Curling Triples. And Steve explains exactly what Curling Triples is, but it shows how much curling is starting to evolve into not just the four-person game, but so much more than that. It's becoming, dare I say, inclusive, right? Because not all the time can you find four people that really want to curl every single week, right? So, you know, these variations of curling are definitely really helping out at the youth level. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do at the club level, and I actually asked Steve that in the interview, but regardless, love chatting with Steve Turner. Had him on twice during the weekend editions of the Sports Cage during the Montana's Briar, and always a great guest, definitely a friend of the show here on the Sports Cage. Here is that chat with Curl Saskatchewan's Steve Turner on the Western Pizza Hotline. Joining me on the Western Pizza Hotline today is Steve Turner from Curl Saskatchewan. Steve, how's it going here today?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing all right. We're going to talk about mixed curling as the provincials are happening this weekend in Kindersley, but also some triples that are going on in Unity. But, of course, the provincial mixed curling event in Kindersley, what can we expect to see out of that? It's already began.
It has. We're well into it here now. We're on day two. It started yesterday. We have a good cross-section of curlers from across the province, where we've got everybody from our women's and men's provincial competitors, past club champions, past mixed champions. So it's a really good competitive crew of curlers.
The mixed game really doesn't get enough love, does it?
It really doesn't, and which is too bad, because it has such a long storied history. But it's still, I know the players that compete in it really embrace this opportunity to, have this, especially it's later in the season. It's a really nice time for everybody to come together, that one last competition before ice starts to come out in curling clubs across the province.
And we see some pretty prominent names, too, end up combining to make teams, right? Like, I think I saw Robin Silvernagles playing with Jason Ackerman this weekend, and Sam Wills, who, of course, plays on the Hartung team as well. So, like, there's some pretty good curlers together on the same teams this weekend.
There really are, not to mention the Hartung team with Amber Holland on it as well. So, it's There's some very well-decorated curlers competing in this, which just adds to the excitement level.
And this event is a bit of a sprint. It's only taking about 4 days, too.
Mm-hmm. It is, and a lot of ours, when we get outside of our men's and women's provincials, this is about the time frame that we get it, so it's fast and furious and intense and a lot of fun as well.
The winner of this event, what happens for them?
So they will participate in the national event, which is at the beginning. It's still in 2024, but it's at the beginning of next curling season. So our Team Saskatchewan, when we crown them on Sunday, they will be representing us and donning the green jacket in St. Catharines in the fall. So, and then we're excited, too, because the following season, our provincial championship will compete at the Nationals on home soil at the Assiniboia Curling Club.
That's great to hear. So you get to celebrate this win for all summer if you get there.
Exactly. You get to be on cloud nine for quite a few months.
For sure. How can people keep up to date with this event?
The best bet, if you can't go and join and view the action in Kindersley, you can go to our website, curlfast.ca, and keep track with the live line scores.
Switching gears a bit here, Steve, the U-12 and U-15 Sask Milk Triples Cups in the wonderful town of Unity this weekend. Remind folks what triples curling is.
Sure. It's a relatively new discipline for us. We've had it for a couple years now, which allows for anybody 15 and under to compete. They're teams of three. It's a bit of a variation on the game with a little bit different scoring. And probably the most exciting part to it is the fact that the three players rotate positions throughout the game. So it gives everybody that opportunity to be the skip, to be in the middle, and as well as to be the lead. So just helping to get people familiar with all the different positions and a really good introduction to some competitive curling.
And you mentioned this event being fairly new. What was the thought behind creating this event?
You know what? It's capturing the interest of younger curlers. I know that curling, based on the skills that are required, a lot of times you can't get the 6-7-year-olds competing in it. So we do, you know, competitively, where you struggle against the hockeys and ringettes of the world and other winter sports. So we want to try to get the opportunity for kids to get bitten by that bug and fall in love with the sport the way the rest of us have.
And again, just a 2-day event up in Unity, so lots of games in a day, I imagine.
Absolutely. It'll be busy. It'll be hopping up there, but it's a lot of fun. We've also tied in some other fun activities for the kids, and they always have a blast.
Something I've noticed that I really like about the triples game is the team names, because there's no set skip. So the teams get to create their own unique team name, don't they?
They do, and you know what? They do such a great job. We get a good laugh of some of the creativity of some of these team names.
Is triples curling something that you're hoping takes off, not just in the youth level, but maybe perhaps at the club level as well, and all age groups?
You know what? I think we hope so. And I think it was something for the longest time that the sport of curling was lacking. That, you know, I'd often say that if you use hockey as an example, if you get a bunch of people go out, they've rented some ice, and you have whatever, 14 people show up, 8 people show up, you figure out how to play a game, right? And curling for so long was, no, it has to be 4 versus 4, it has to be 8 rocks, 2 each. Now, mixed doubles, having that introduced over the last number of years, has helped to show a variation of the game where it can just be 2 versus 2. Triples now with 3 versus 3. And this year, also with the help of Curling Canada, there was a development of a singles app, which was kind of a skill-based app, but another opportunity for even as an individual to compete against other people, and record your scores, some skill-based scores, and then be able to compete against other people across the province and even across the country.
So am I hearing that right, Steve? We're going to get singles curling eventually?
Well, it's something that they're kind of trying here, but it's just another, like, we just want to make sure that people have every opportunity to play and fall in love with the sport. So, you know, they maybe don't have a full team around them, but it's just a, you know, we're trying to create a pathway for any curler that wants to start to play this sport, to continue to play this sport. We're developing the pathways that if they want to go into the competitive or ultimately lead to the, as we call it, the podium pathway, there's that. But we also know that we've got lifelong curlers. We've got the curlers that are in the curling centers and in the curling clubs that help keep those centers vibrant and going. So if maybe not the competitive podium pathway, but a lifelong sport participant. So we want to make sure that everybody's got that opportunity to join, learn, and continue to play for their entire life.
What other events does Curl Sask have coming up here?
Well, this is kind of our big finale to the year. But going on this weekend, it's not so much our event, but we do have Moose Jaw's hosting the National Wheelchair Championship for the second year in a row. So we've got two teams, a Saskatchewan 1 and Saskatchewan 2 team that's competing there. So we're quite excited with that. We just finished, one of our affiliated members is the two-person stick league. They just had their provincial event that wrapped up yesterday. So it's been a busy last few days of curling here.
Steve Turner from Curl Saskatchewan joining us on the Western Pizza Hotline. Perfect pizza with a generous amount of toppings, plus Greek food like souvlaki, ribs, salads, all the goodness you can't make at home. Call Western Pizza today. Steve, lastly here, Kirk Myers and Laura Walker finished second at the National Mixed Doubles this morning, coming oh so close to that national title. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's, you know, I was watching those line scores too, and fingers crossed, you know, Kirk being longtime Saskatchewan curler and such a friend of the game and has done some wonderful things in this province. Would love to have seen him have that dream realized, but they were oh so close, and I wouldn't count that team out in the future.
We certainly can't count out St. Gregor's finest, Kirk Myers. Steve,
exactly.
Thank you. Steve, thank you so much here for the time today.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome inside the Radio Octagon. This is Saskatchewan's number one sports talk show, The Sports Cage, on 620 CKRM.
A Nelson Holmes Sports Cage on your Friday afternoon. Again, for Nelson Holmes, supplying home packages and RTMs for over 65 years. I'm Ryan McNally, and it's been a fun show here today. If you missed any segment, it'll be on the Sports Cage podcast. You can find that on 620ckrm.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Coming up next here on the show, we chat with our good friend Arash Madani from Sportsnet on Coast to Coast for Smart Investing Solutions. Be smart with your money. Call Brian Gawley at Smart Investing Solutions, 546-2533. And Arash joins us from Dallas, Texas. He chats a little baseball, a little football or soccer, if you will, and a little bit of basketball, too. So let's get into that conversation with Sportsnet's Arash Madani. Joining us on the Western Pizza Hotline, Sportsnet's Arash Madani. Arash, how's it going here today?
Ryan, I am great. Down here in Dallas, Texas, for a little soccer, Canadian soccer tomorrow.
Good to hear. And I hear there's lots of good food down there in Dallas, too. So I imagine you'll be getting your fill.
And also the portion sizes, Ryan. Not that I need big portion sizes, but everything's bigger in Texas. That's actually legit. Like, that's no BS there.
That's what I've heard as well, too. Arash, getting into some baseball here. We will get to soccer, I promise. But getting into baseball here, less than a week to go before opening day here for the Blue Jays. And we heard some pretty major news out of Kevin Gausman's camp that he may not be able to start the season. Is that a concern for the Jays?
I don't think so. Look, Gausman's had a bit of a shoulder issue in camp, which is basically just slow down his progress. So he may miss a skip or two, a start or two rather, as he kind of ramps back up But my real understanding of it is that that's not serious. But it's the spin-off effect of what that Gausman absence may mean, Ryan, because Alek Manoah is just kind of lightly throwing right now. So suddenly two dudes in your rotation aren't in the mix. And this may mean that Ricky Tiedemann, who is one of their young prospects, their hotshot prospects that they did not want to have in this situation to start the season, may very well be in the rotation to begin the year. And so that kind of changes the whole dynamic of where Tiedemann's kind of timeline is with the big club.
Depending on how Tiedemann does this kind of push the envelope for the Jays to maybe pursue another one of those starting pitchers that's still out there on the market?
Well, there's only one, really. It's Jordan Montgomery, and I think at this point, it's unlikely that it's going to happen. By the time Montgomery would even be ready to pitch, because he hasn't been in the camp, he hasn't pitched in any games, you know, you're talking about almost May at that point. So it's kind of like, you know, Mike Tomlin, the Steelers coach, always says, we got to sleep fast to be ready for the next game. They need Manoah to get sorted fast. They need Gausman to get the fix fast. Look, they have two other options. They have a vet. They have a vet in the mix. They have Mitch White in the mix. They don't want to pitch Mitch White. So, look, last year, the strength of the Blue Jay team was their pitching staff, their starting pitching staff. They got 200 innings out of Chris Bassitt. You know, Berríos went the whole year. They didn't really have the injury bug. That was unsustainable. This is altogether predictable because you can't just go 6-7 months without issues with your starting arms.
Switching a little bit, Santiago Espinal, only 2 years ago, he was an all-star for the Jays. This week gets traded. Well, he gets traded, but for a single-A ball player, too. Like, this isn't necessarily unusual, but how did it come to be that way for the Jays?
Well, it's a few things. One, Ernie Clement has really kind of come in and won that kind of utility middle infield backup role that Espinal had. So Clement's just become better than Espinal. The other thing is, it opens up a roster spot on the 40-man. So now the Blue Jays have a little bit more flexibility. You know, this offseason, they go get Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, they go get Justin Turner. So their infield's kind of pretty set. There just wasn't a roster spot for Espinal. So now, on the 40-man, you know, you have some room there. And look, the Blue Jays, here's the reality, Ryan. You know, we talked about Tiedemann, but outside of Tiedemann, this is a bare minor league system. So if you can bring in another arm, and who knows what he's going to turn into, that can only help. Look, Espinal was a pro. They did everything they asked. Was a valuable piece of what they were doing. But his kind of time ran out. And other dudes kind of, you know, just kind of passed him on the depth chart, if you will.
Do you question the value, though, in that return?
No. Here's the interesting thing about, I think, sports and baseball especially. But, like, you know, I live in Toronto where people overvalue names and players that you're used to and that you see every day. Like, you know, Leaf fans believe that their third and fourth line wingers, they should be getting, like, Sidney Crosby in his prime in return for them. Yeah, Espinal was a all-star, but he was an all-star, like, and this is to take nothing away from Santiago, but he was an all-star, not just like the first reserve, but like the last batch of reserves. Espinal wasn't going to make the team coming out of camp, so they were going to lose him to waivers anyway. So you may as well just get something for him instead of nothing for him.
Good call. Arash Madani joining us on the Western Pizza Hotline, also for Smart Investing Solutions. Be smart with your money. Call Brian Gawley at Smart Investing Solutions, 546-2533. Arash, pretty quietly, one of the best athletes on the planet today, hails from Toronto, or hails from Canada, rather.
Hamilton.
In Hamilton, yes. But he's in Toronto tonight. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander putting himself in the conversation for MVP. That's not an exaggeration, is it?
Listen, Ryan, I'm going to tell you this. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is the second best basketball player in the world right now. And there's an argument that he's the best. And the people are listening and saying, what are you talking about? Well, look, Nikola Jokic is probably going to win MVP again. But did you know that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in 40 games already this season has scored more than 30 points? Like, Russell Westbrook did that for OKC and nobody else. Shai has had a better season this year in Oklahoma City than Kevin Durant ever had. But he's off in that, you know, pasture of Oklahoma where nobody pays attention. He's not that much of a self-promoter. OKC hasn't done any damage in the playoffs. They're not a sexy team where you're not getting hot takes on, you know, where things are. And here's where the American media really comes into this whole thing. Because, Ryan, when you think about what the basketball world is right now, the top five players in the world aren't American. So, you know, Shai's two, Jokic is one, Luka Doncic is in that mix, on and on we can go. So it's really interesting, but this dude, he is everything you want as a, from a franchise standpoint, face of the franchise standpoint, leadership standpoint, production standpoint, and today in Toronto, he was handed the Northern Star Award for the 2023 Canadian Athlete of the Year.
I'm glad you mentioned Kevin Durant, because Kevin Durant had, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green around him for a few of those years too, right? And Shai's doing it.
Well, that was in Golden State.
That was in Golden State.
Think about his OKC team. In OKC, he had Westbrook, he had Harden, and he had Ibaka.
That's an insane team already when you think about it, right? Like, and a team that didn't win, right?
Correct. Ran into LeBron and friends in Miami.
Yeah, that's insane when you think about that. Obviously spent a lot of time with SGA in the summer at the FIBA World Cup. What stood out to you for him?
A lot of the things I just talked about, but down the stretch of games, Ryan, this dude is a finisher and this guy's a killer. Like, he is the most one of the most unflappable athletes I've ever been around. And when the when the game gets to, as our friend John Gibbons would say, nut cutting time, that's when SGA would raise his level again. Over and over, the biggest shots and the biggest moments he would knock down. And it's not that he just doesn't shy away from it, he delivers in it. And that's what the greats do.
It sure sounds more and more like the Raptors are in trouble tonight with just one of those players, let alone, the young team that OKC's put together that's, kind of tearing through the West right now, too.
Mm-hmm. And I just don't know. When I look at this whole playoff picture, Denver obviously won last year and the Nuggets are really strong and the Lakers are the Lakers. OKC's a bit of a wild card. Like, they got to do the whole walk before you run thing. And once Chet Holmgren gets another year of experience, another year of muscle, it's going to be very intriguing. Here's the other thing about SGA, Ryan. This dude has already signed one extension with OKC. If he signs another one there, just with the way the NBA economics work for the, the homegrown whatever, we're talking about a $400 million extension, something in that neighborhood. That's the caliber of player.
That is a lot of money, and I think that's fair to say well-earned as well. And now Paris Olympics coming up this summer. Shai and the Canadians are actually in the conversation to win a medal. It doesn't seem that long ago, Arash, that Canada was hardly qualifying for the Olympics and not even qualifying. How far has this men's basketball program come in Canada?
Yeah, Ryan, like if you were a Canadian basketball player who like attended an NBA game, they'd consider you back in the day to be on the national team. Now we're going to be cutting NBA starters. Like it's just baffling to think about. And in terms of the NBA today, no country has more NBA players outside the United States than Canada. There are more Canadians playing in the NBA than from Spain or from France or from Serbia or from anywhere else other than the U.S. It's remarkable. It's terrific. It's wild. And yeah, it puts us in the conversation in Paris this summer to be knocking on the door of a medal.
And that's got to be exciting too. You obviously still can't, you know, count out the U.S. for gold, but anywhere in that top three, that's got to be considered a win for this program, isn't it?
Yeah, and look, Serbia's right there in the mix. You know, international basketball is a totally, you know, that's the one thing being at that World Cup that I really understood. It's altogether different. It's a different game. It's a different officiated game. All of it's different. But like Germany won the World Cup. So like there's a lot that can happen, and it's going to be intriguing to see how it all plays out.
Alrighty, well, you're in Dallas, where tomorrow Canada's national team is playing a pretty pivotal match in soccer against Trinidad and Tobago, a last chance to qualify for the Copa America this summer. Why is it so important for Canada to get this win and get into Copa America?
Well, let's just kind of... Well, the easiest answer here, Ryan, is because Canada's hosting the World Cup in 2026. And so this new era, like that's 2 years away, which is crazy to think about. This new team, this new era has to be ready for that World Cup to not make complete fools of themselves like they did in Qatar. And if you get into the Copa America this summer, they would play Argentina with Lionel Messi, the defending World Cup champions. You get Chile. You get Peru, you get real competition. And that's what this team needs. That's what this team requires to be able to have a chance to do some damage at home in the World Cup. So this is pivotal. And it would be an absolute embarrassment if they still win this thing, win this match tomorrow. They're minus 1,000 favorites. And rightfully so. It's a bunch of glorified men's league players who play for Trinidad right now.
Is there a bit of a youth moment for the Canadian team going into this as well?
Yeah. Stefan Eustachio is going to get the captain armband. There's not a player on the roster tomorrow, Ryan, over the age of 30. So they've, you know, between retirement and decisions, tough decisions that coaches make, they've weeded that out, and they're going with the youth movement. So it's a different group than you may have seen a couple of years ago at the World Cup in Qatar.
Arash, before I let you go, how's your March Madness bracket doing?
Disastrous. Disastrous. I read somewhere with Oakland beating Kentucky last night, something like 111 or 117 brackets remain perfect on the Yahoo platform anyway. I had Texas Tech going places, beating North Carolina State. That didn't help me. How about the Nevada meltdown against Dayton? I had Nevada winning that game. They were up like 17 or something late in the game, and they blew it. So how about yours, man?
I actually have learned my lesson, and I don't even put one in.
Oh no,
that is just you know how heartbroken I've gotten this year because I take
you don't enjoy Thursday night tearing your bracket up into 1,000 pieces and throwing it up in the air.
Well, definitely not on opening day. I mean that's kind of frustrating. I just pick Gonzaga every year because they take a bunch of Canadian guys. That's all I do.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Alrighty, well, Arash Madani from Sportsnet, thank you again so much for the time here today. For Smart Investing Solutions, be smart with your money. Call Brian Golly at Smart Investing Solutions, 546-2533. Enjoy the soccer tonight, dear Arash.
Okay, thanks, Ryan.
Arash Madani from Sportsnet joining us here on the Sports Cage. All thanks to Smart Investing Solutions. Be smart with your money. Call Brian Golly at Smart Investing Solutions, 546-2533. We continue on with a Nelson Holmes Friday edition of the Sports Cage. Again, for Nelson Holmes, supplying home packages and RTMs for over 65 years. And, we'll be back with more after the break here on the Sports Cage, live from the Brandt Center, right here on 620 CKRM. Sports Sticker is brought to you by Busy Bee Overhead Doors. Busy Bee will repair or replace your residential or commercial garage door so you don't get stuck in or out. Catch the buzz. Busy Bee Doors, the garage door specialists. Well, we're here at the Brandt Center here, and looking forward to Regina Pats taking on the Brandon Wheat Kings tonight. The Pats are going to be celebrating their 50th anniversary of the 1974 Memorial Cup win. There's also be a lot of pomp and circumstance with the last home game of the season, so definitely going to be handing out some special awards to the players and whatnot tonight. Puck drops at 7 o'clock. We'll have a special hour-long pregame show beginning at 6 right here after the Sports Gauge on 620 CKRM. Elsewhere in the WHL this evening, Swift Current hosts Calgary. Saskatoon visits Prince Albert. SJHL playoffs beginning tonight. Game 1 of the 4 first-round best-of-7 series takes place this evening. Flin Flon hosting Kindersley. Estevan visits Melfort. Humboldt home to Weyburn. The Battlefords taking on Melville. The Carolina Hurricanes are on a pretty nice roll here. Carolina chases a 6th straight win when they visit the Washington Capitals following last night's 3-2 overtime victory over the Philadelphia Flyers. It's one of 4 games on the ice tonight. Dallas hosts Pittsburgh, Columbus visits Colorado, and Arizona entertains Seattle. In other NHL news today, Washington Capitals forward Tom Wilson has been suspended 6 games for his high stick or slash, whatever you want to call it, on Toronto Maple Leafs forward Noah Gregor. Wilson had an in-person hearing via Zoom with the NHL's Department of Player Safety today. He received a double minor for high sticking on the play. And the World Women's Curling Championships, Rachel Holman is now 11-0 after dominating Scotland 8-2 today after 7 ends. Holman's Team Canada rink will play South Korea to wrap up the round robin. That is your sports ticker for Busy Bee Overhead Doors.
We're talking sports on your way home. This is the Sports Cage on Sports Radio 620 CKRM.
Wrapping up hour 3 here of the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM. For Nelson Holmes, supplying home packages and RTMs for over 65 years. This has been a fun show today. We've had a few guests on the Western Pizza Hotline. Of course, perfect pizza with a generous amount of toppings, plus great food like souvlaki, ribs, salads, all the goodness you can't make at home. Call Western Pizza today. Again, been a fun show. We look forward to doing it again next week, as I'll be in the big chair a couple of days next week, a short week with just the 4 shows. Brendan McGuire will be back in the big chair on Monday. Look forward to hearing what he has got lined up for that show. I'll be back Tuesday and Wednesday. So, again, hoping that we can get a good show for you for then. Let's jump right into this Sports Cage Clutch Performer for Nick's Service in Emerald Park, your local Massey Ferguson Challenger, Rogator Cleaner, and Fent dealer. Call 781-1077. Of course, March Madness is on right now. And you're going to get some schools that you've never heard of win big games against schools that should not be losing games this early in the tournament. And that was the case already yesterday with Duquesne University picking up a massive win in their first round. It's the first time they've won a game at the March Madness Men's Basketball Tournament in a long time. Can't put an exact number on that. That's how long it's been. LeBron James's former teammate is an assistant coach on that team. LeBron James's high school coach, also a coach on that team as well. But that's not who I'm highlighting as my clutch performer here today. Clutch performer is Professor Robert Healy III of Duquesne University. The reason being, he canceled classes for today after yesterday's win. That is how big of a deal this is for Duquesne University, who, again, massive upset, maybe one of the biggest upsets of the year so far of this tournament. They beat BYU 71-67. Absolutely massive game for Duquesne. That is your clutch performer for Nick's Service in Emerald Park, your local Massey Ferguson Challenger, Rogator Cleaner, and Fence dealer. Call 781-1077. Would you have picked a different one? Let me know on the Capital Ford Lincoln text line for Capital Ford Lincoln, Saskatchewan's number one Ford retailer, capitalfordlincoln.com. We are still waiting for our last guest of the day to join us, Kim McDougal, who is apparently was looking for a place to park outside the Brand Center. It's already full. Lot is already getting jammed up here for what's preparing to be a special night. I always loved coming to the last game of the Regina Pats season as a kid, coming and watching as players used to get their awards and whatnot for, you know, the great season that they had, good, bad, or otherwise for the team as a whole. But one I remember in particular was Jordan Eberle, his rookie year, already 16 years old, and he cleaned up that awards show. As, again, a team that, you know, finished, I believe, in the second round that year, that 16-year-old Jordan Eberle season. A lot of good players on that team as well that went on to play minor professional hockey or semi-pro, if you will. And, yeah, I definitely remember those. He always wore the special jersey. There was sometimes, you know, someone different doing the public address announcing, but it was definitely it was an event back then, right? It was something to remember, that last game of the regular season here for the Regina Pats at the Brandt Center. And tonight should be no different. It'll be a spectacle pregame as they hand out the awards for the players. And I'm sure the players are looking forward to seeing who's taking home what award. We just had the three Pats 20-year-old defensemen, Keegan Slaney, Ty Gibson, and Carson Haynes on the show in hour two. And even they are, you know, wondering what to expect for tonight. But again, just another game for them as well. Just another game for the Brandon Wheat Kings. It's their last game of the regular season. They are getting set to start a playoff series with who potentially it could be the Moose Jaw Warriors. I'm going to say, best case scenario for them, it is Moose Jaw, so I'm thinking that's how it's going to finish up. If Brandon wins tonight, it pretty well locks up that sixth seed, so you end up getting Moose Jaw. If they do drop down to seventh place, they'll end up getting an extra 2.5 hours on the bus for games one and two as they go to Swift Current instead. So instead, I don't know. That's a tough selection there. So, regardless, we'll chat a little bit more Pats after the break here on the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM.
Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Sports Cage. Now back to the action on Sports Radio 620 CKRM.
And welcome back to the Sports Cage here on 620 CKRM, live from the Brandt Center. I'm Ryan McNally, and I'm joined by Kim McDougal, who's from that 1974 Memorial Cup champion team. Kim, how's it going here today?
Unbelievable. It's a dream come true.
Dream come true to come back and celebrate a title that...
Oh, for sure. And see all the guys.
Yeah.
You know, face to face. We keep in touch, but to get everybody in a packed room together, and I was cleaning a limo I borrowed from my buddy at Big Bob's, Kelly, and it's all shiny, ready for us, and yeah, it's going to be a great weekend.
I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing some of those stories and hearing some of those stories a little later on, but first things first, can you believe it's actually been 50 years since this Memorial Cup season in Regina?
You know, you hear that song all the time about the 100 years, and you blink and it's gone.
Oh, yeah.
50 goes really quick.
I believe it, right? And yes. Take us back to the training camp that year, if you could. Was there a feeling that group was going to be really special?
Well, you know, you had to go back actually 2 years before that.
Okay.
When we were all rookies, we went to the league final, lost in the seventh game in overtime. We had Earl Ingerfield for a coach. That was the building blocks of the team 2 years later. And, yeah, when we went to camp that year, we knew we had a special team, but really, we went to Sweden at Christmas time, and that completely bonded that squad. Unbelievable.
You finished as a number one team in the regular season that 1973-74 year. Those playoffs, you faced Saskatoon in the first round. You faced Swift Current in the second round. Then a really high-powered Calgary team in the final, and you as a defenseman, I mean, that Calgary team presented some challenges, didn't they?
Well, for sure. They had Danny Gare, you know, a Buffalo renowned. They had Holland. They had a heck of a team, and they were favorite to beat us. But I don't know. Eddie played like a brick wall, and we just rolled them. It was impressive.
That playoff run was something too, right? I mean, Saskatoon 6 games, Swift Current 6 games. Like, your toughest competition, theoretically, just looking at games played, came out of Saskatchewan that year.
Positively, for sure. That Swift Current series, we lost the first game. We're down the second game 5-1 going into the third period. We lose that one, it's over. And we came back and beat them. Yep.
And, you know, had a bit of a slip up too in the Memorial Cup. We'll get to that in just a bit too. But that Memorial Cup, that was the first time Regina had won the Scotty Monroe Memorial Trophy as the Western Hockey League champion. That's just, it's only happened twice now in league history too, right? That's got to be hard to believe too with the teams that have come out of here.
You know, I've watched a lot of the teams after us. You know, the Dirt Catches, it's crazy. Calendar, the Wickenheiser, Flockhart, Darren Beach. Like, there was some good hockey teams after. Brooks, Wagner, I can go on and on and on. Like, it's hard to believe that no other team has been lucky enough. You got to be good to be lucky. And things have to just fall the right way. You can't have injuries. Your goaltender has to play solid. You know, everything's got to go right to win that.
And that Memorial Cup final, you play Quebec, a team that beat you 4 days earlier in that event, too. Before the game, what was that dressing room like? It's got to be excitement and nervous energy, I imagine.
When you're 20 years old, you're pumped.
Yeah.
You know, you're ready to go. We're all 19, 20-year-olds sitting in the room before going, hey, this is it. We got to win, period.
Yeah, and in Calgary, too, that Memorial Cup, too, right? And,
at the Crow.
I was talking to Sobchak earlier today, and he was saying you guys were actually down in that game, too. And
we're down 3-1 after the first period.
Down 3-1 after the first, end up winning 7-4. Like, that's just how explosive hockey was back then, wasn't it?
It's, you know, now you talk about Sobby. Bob Turner, our coach, came in. I'm sure he was ready to rip the roof off. And Sobby stood up and said, I got it. I'll score 3 and we're going to win. And that was it.
Exactly, right?
And he scored 3.
Moving on to pro. You're part of the NHL's One Game Club, according to Elite Prospects, right?
I sure am.
Along with Don Cherry and some others, but he's certainly the most famous one. What was it like to get that one game?
It was really special. You know, you go to training camp and you meet some of the guys, and they treated the Rooks really well, and then not so well, because there's always some shenanigans that go in. You get there for my first playoff game. I got a new suit on. I walk in and I get baby powdered, and they got the cotton batting all over your suit, and but it made you feel at home.
Oh yeah!
But it was special, and there's such a fine line, you know, to be in the right spot at the right time, in the right position that they need. You know, I played with lots of guys that should have played in the NHL. That line is so fine, and everything has to just fall in perfectly.
Yeah, AHL and IHL for you after that. What was it like playing in those leagues in that day and age? Because I imagine that was some pretty wild stories coming out of those leagues.
Put it this way, there was lots of Rocky hockey.
Oh, yeah?
You know, compared to the game now, you know, anytime. If a game got out of hand, 4-1, third period, you knew there was going to be fights, plain and simple. You know, you wanted to send a message for the next game if you were losing, and if you were winning, then you didn't mind pounding on the guys that you were beating. So it was a different game, different time. You know, I go and watch now, and it's such a fast game, no red line. The kids are so skilled. The equipment's so good. It's unbelievable.
Do you like the game today? What do you think of it today?
I still in my heart like a bit of Rocky hockey. You know, I come to the games and you watch the players talking to each other on the ice. We never talk to each other unless you were telling the guy what you thought of him. It's just totally different, you know. But skill-wise, it's great. Absolutely great.
So you'd love to mix in the old with the new a little bit is what I'm hearing.
Positively, for sure.
Yeah.
And I even have a different outlook now. My youngest boy's an NHL referee, so I watch him referee a lot. So I watch the game out of a different pair of glasses now at times, you know, to see what it should be a penalty, isn't a penalty. You know, when I played a hook, you basically had to drag the guy back 4 feet to get a hooking penalty. Now you touch him on the glove. And I mean touch him on the glove with your stick, and it's a hooking penalty.
Well, those guys are so good at drawing those penalties too, right? Aren't they? Like,
for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
You come home after your NHL, AHL, IHL days to come play for the Lumsden Monarchs during a, let's be real, a fairly dominant time for Monarchs hockey too, right? Like, maybe just describe what playing senior hockey was like in Saskatchewan in the 70s and 80s.
Well, you know, it's funny. I came home, I wasn't going to play hockey again. And we're talking to Mike Berard. His dad phoned me and said, you should come out to a practice. And I said, no, I don't even have an equipment. I gave it all away when I quit playing hockey. I'm done playing hockey. Anyways, he talked me into coming out. And it was the best thing that ever happened. I went and played with a bunch of guys that I knew. They taught me how to love the game again, and I taught them how to win hockey games. And it was a good mixture, and we had some really, really good teams, some really, really fun times. I played one year in provincials with Rob Tudor and Al Dumba and a bunch of guys out at Dysart. We won Provincial A. I went over to Moose Jaw and played in the Hardy Cup in 1985 towards the end of my career with Darren Bobick and Ziegler from here and Wayne Wagner, Terry Matlock from Lumsden. It was, you know, totally different. When you're older, it's a totally different outlook than when you're younger. You know, that club was super, just totally different when you're on the other end of the spectrum.
I believe it. You know, Monarchs are doing pretty well this year. League final against Balcarres and provincial final that starts this weekend against Keniston. Do you still follow the Monarchs today?
Sure do. I've a buddy of mine, Mike Berard, we're talking. We've been to lots of the provincial games. We drove out to Drake when they played them. We've been to Balcarres. We were at Ochapaway for the Round Lake Series. 2,500 fans in that rink. 50-50 was $28,000. The winner won half of that. It was a great atmosphere. Lumsden's been packed. Like, give credit to Round Lake. They brought like 600 or 700 fans with them. And the Lumsden rink, they had to turn people away. They're only allowed 1,300 people in there. And it was wall-to-wall people standing 7 or 8 deep to watch really good hockey.
Have you ever seen senior hockey like this before?
Not quite like this, no.
No?
That's for sure.
No?
There's just so many skilled players that are, you know, are coming back and playing from university in the Western League and the SJ. Yeah, and fewer teams. So really the talent is deeper on each team as well.
And what I heard was there was a line from the front doors of the rink to the Dew Drop Inn. So like that's a serious line to get in to watch some hockey, right?
Oh, for sure. I got a buddy down in Arcola, and they went to the Carlisle series against Round Lake, and they pre-sold tickets the day before. And they had like a 2-block line in town waiting to buy tickets the day before a game. And Lumsden pre-sold tickets as well.
I thought I saw someone sleeping in the front of the door. Like that. Like that is rock concert stuff, and it's for senior hockey, right?
For sure. No doubt about that.
You know, after you finished playing, what was life like for you?
Well, we run your kids around, and now I'm running my grandkids around. My grandson's a goalie. And everybody knows that goalies, they're different. They're wild. Played with Eddie. Eddie was different. My grandson's different.
Do you have any regrets over your hockey career?
Hell no.
No?
Not a one.
No? Just love the way it wrapped up?
It can't change it. And I was lucky. I came home and met some really good people. And, I wouldn't change anything.
And you mentioned you've followed the Pats a little bit, you know, since you left the team. How closely have you followed those teams?
I had season tickets from the day that I quit playing until last year.
Yeah?
So I followed quite closely, yes. And we had an alumni that was very strong a few years back. And it's gone away a bit, and hopefully we're having some talks to get it rolling again. So if any of the Pats are listening out there, get a hold of me, because we need you to get back on the list.
Perfect. And hopefully we can get more Pats alumni events. Across the street, the Riders alumni, so strong, right? Yep. And with a team with the history that this Regina Pats organization has, it makes all the sense in the world to have that, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Kim McDougall, thank you so much for joining us here on the Sports Cage today.
Hey, it's been an honor. Thank you for having me.
Hey, great to have you. And Kim McDougall from the 1974 Memorial Cup champion team, getting celebrated tonight here at the Brandt Center. Special pregame ceremony coming up here tonight. Not only just the 1974 Memorial Cup team getting celebrated tonight, but also the 2023-24 team getting celebrated here tonight, as they'll be handing out those special player awards. This is the last regular season game for the Regina Pats at home. They, of course, go to Moose Jaw tomorrow to officially wrap up their season. I'm assuming Moose Jaw will have their special player awards night that night as well, before what they hope is a deep playoff run down there in the friendly city. That's going to do it for our show here today, folks. A big thank you to all of my guests who hopped on the Western Pizza Hotline. Perfect pizza with a generous amount of toppings, plus Greek food like souvlaki, ribs, salads, all the goodness you can't make at home. Call Western Pizza today. Also had three Pats 20-year-old defensemen on the program. Big thanks to Keegan Slane, Itai Gibson, and Carson Haynes. All the best with their careers moving forward. And this has been another edition of the Friday Sports Cage for Nelson Homes, supplying home packages and RTMs for over 65 years. I'm Ryan McNally. Have yourself a wonderful night. See you at the rink right here from the Brandt Center on 620 CKRM.
Today's Sports Cage has come to a close. Miss a segment? Download or stream the podcast now at sportscage.ca. Get your sports straight from the source. 620 CKRM.